Be a part on April the 17th, Resurrection Sunday. A lot of people call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday here. It's going to be a great morning. We're going to have a 10 o'clock breakfast for anybody who wants to come and partake. And then we will start it at our regular 10:45 time. And Aaron and Melissa Weil are going to be here to do music on Easter. So it's really excited about that. And then I believe, Miss Pat, we're going to have an egg find out back, right, afterwards? That's what we want one, yes, ma'am. So we're going to be, I think we still have plenty of eggs. So we're gonna do that. So just be thinking about somebody that you might invite to come with you on that day. And we're looking forward to a great day that day. Romans chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse 17 this morning. Paul, as he's wrapping up this letter to the church at Rome, he says, "I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Father, I ask that you will just take your word this morning and just bring it alive to us. Lord, we just want to be in your presence today. We just thank you for allowing us to gather together and allowing us, Father, to encourage each other with your word. And I thank you, Lord, how Paul puts this ending of this letter together, Lord, to encourage the folks that are there to be on the alert, because there are people who don't have the best interest of Christianity in mind. They just want to do their own thing. So, Lord, I pray that we will be careful. But I also pray, Father, that more than that, we will be full of your love and full of your joy, so that we can share Christ with people around us, because Satan has been put under our feet because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we're so grateful for that. And I just pray, Lord, this morning that you'll speak to each one of us, including me, Lord. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your outlines in front of you, now since we are the body of Christ, we are to work together for good. We are to follow Jesus, who is the head of the body. We are to encourage each other, help each other, mend broken pieces, and reach out with the love of God. The only way this can happen is to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We need to guard the body from those who are trying to hurt and to tear down the body. Now let me just say this at the very beginning as we start this study this morning. I don't believe right now that I know of anybody who's actively trying to tear this body apart. But I know that in many cases it's not somebody who even wants to do that necessarily at first, but grabs hold of something that they think is critical, more critical than the love of Christ, and they start pulling away and trying to dissuade other people or persuade some people to follow them or whatever it might be. And that is usually the beginning of struggles and trials in bodies of Christ. I just want you to be encouraged that we ought to, as the title of this message says, we need to be very wise. Now, to be very wise doesn't mean you have to know all the knowledge of the whole Bible in your head. What it means is to know the one who is wise. That makes a huge difference. Because there's a lot of people who know stuff. Let me just put it that way. It doesn't sound very intellectual, but they know a lot of stuff. But it doesn't really matter how many things you know. What really matters is who you know. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior and Lord? Do you walk with Him daily? Do you spend time in His Word? Do you listen to Him? Do you allow His Holy Spirit to show you the way that you ought to go? Do you walk in Christ? Do you abide in Him? You see, that's all that Paul really wanted to, this whole letter that he had written to the church at Rome was to say, listen, you know, all the things that you're going to hear from people who try to come in with their own ideas and try to persuade you to do certain things. Listen, folks, all you really need to know is this. We were all lost and on the way to hell, but Jesus Christ paid the price for us. And it's because of Him and because of Him alone. He demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So our whole life ought to be about Him, not about what somebody says is right or somebody says is wrong. Our life needs to be about Him. If our life is focused on Him, what did He say in Matthew? He says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all the other things will be taken care of, will be added to you as well. And folks, one of the reasons I love the book of Romans is it helps us be reminded of that. That it's not about church hierarchy and who needs to do what, when they need to do it. And even though Paul says we ought to be working together as the body of Christ, and we should be working together, realizing that Jesus is the head of the body, we need to also remember that we're not doing this because it's a religious activity for us that we can check off of our religious boxes. But this is something we're doing because we love God with all of our heart and our mind, soul, and spirit. And we love people just like we've been loved. That's why we're doing this. So in verses 17 through 19, Paul makes this statement. He says, I urge you to watch out, to see. Watch for people who are like this, who cause divisions and put obstacles in the way, that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. Keep away from them. The reason he says this is because we understand and know that there's really two kinds of fruit in the world. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's good fruit and bad fruit. There's good people, there's bad people. But they're not good people because they do good things. They're good only because they have God in their life. Because there's a lot of religious people who do good things, who are leading people away from a real relationship with Jesus. We are known by our fruit. The Scripture reminds us of that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. It says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. You see, we need to identify a tree by its fruit. That's how you know what kind of tree it is, right? You don't walk out and see an apple tree and go, hey, I got a lemon tree growing in my backyard. Why? Because it won't grow lemons. Especially around here, right? You won't get apples probably either. Not very many. You'll get a few before the first frost hit. But, you know, it's just, you can recognize the tree by what it bears. In the same way, by the way, we are known by our fruit. We are known by what comes from us. Recognition is a key. We need to understand, and this is why he's saying that we need to watch out. We need to recognize when people are coming in with their own agendas and with their own desires and with things that they think that they want. You see, God's not really interested in what we want. We are not to be here to build a church that we think everybody will want to be a part of. If we were going to do that, we could put up screens everywhere and people could watch football here and have snacks, and you know, we could do all the kinds of things that places that try to draw people in do. That's not what God's called us to do. What God has called us to do is the body of Christ, is to grow more and more like Him every single day, and then to share that good news with people around us by the love of Jesus Christ. So we need to recognize and be aware of when things come along that are not quite right. They're not of God. We need to be aware. 1 Peter reminds us that we are to be alert and sober-minded, because we know the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I heard this a long time ago, and it bears repeating, that when the lion makes his large roars in the jungle, it's not when he's about to attack somebody. He does it to put fear into somebody. That's the way the devil does it. He wants to make you fearful. He wants to make you shy and reserved and not willing to do what God is calling you to do. So he's always roaring. When the lion is not roaring, that's when you got to watch out, because then he's in stealth mode and he's ready to attack. We just need to be aware of people who might come in roaring about their credentials and their abilities to be able to do certain things. Folks, I just know this. If God wants something to happen, he will place people in the right place at the right time with the right attitude and the right heart, and it will happen. People will know us by our fruit. They will see what comes from us. And it's either going to be good fruit or bad fruit, like we read a while ago. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about that good fruit. It says the fruit of the Spirit, which is the kind of fruit that we want, right? Right? It's okay to talk. It's okay to answer, yes. Yes, we want the good fruit. We want the good fruit. And here is the good fruit. A spirit of love. I love how it's the very first thing that's mentioned, because without love, there's nothing else. The spirit of love, joy. Have you ever noticed that some people just have a spirit of joy upon them? I've noticed that. I can see it in their hearts and their countenance, in the things that they talk about. They walk around and they're so full of joy. Spirit of love and joy and peace. Not warring against one another, but a spirit of peace, of patience or forbearance. Being patient with each other. Boy, that's something I need to work on. I don't know about you, but patience is not always easy. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these things are fruits of the Spirit. Against these things, there is no law. Why? Because they come directly from the Spirit of God. And so Paul says, be careful when you are looking around and you're trying to reach people, and some people are coming in and they may have a different agenda than what God has in store for this group. We're known by our fruit. Then there's bad fruit. The good fruit we just saw that comes from the Holy Spirit. The bad fruit is people who come in and they start causing divisions. The Greek word here is apodereso, which means to disjoin or separate. It means people who come in and they start, you know, maybe at first just quietly say, well, I don't think I like, you know, that, because, you know, I don't think that's exactly right. And somebody else might say, well, I think it's right. And, oh, yeah, but, you know, maybe they have the wrong attitude. And boy, before long, people start saying, yeah, I don't think that's right. And before you have a division. Do you think God wants the body of Christ to be divided? Never. In fact, it's one of the things he hates. God hates division in the body of Christ. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19 says, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community of Christ, the body of Christ. You see, this bad fruit can cause all kinds of divisions. It's contrary to God's word. God wants us to love one another. And in fact, we are to love each other just like we love ourselves. And I've said this multiple times, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's a truth of God. And I believe it with all my heart. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, what if he really meant that? He did. We need to love our neighbors. And I'm not just talking about the people that live right next door to you, although they are your neighbors. I'm talking about people that you know, people that you see regularly, people that you come in contact with, that you might have an affinity, the same kind of alike in your heart as them. We've got to love them. But we also have to love the people that are not necessarily so lovable. We've got to look and say, God loves them. He sees past their struggles and their heartaches and their meanness and anything else. He loves them 100%. But we need to be aware of people who come in trying, seeking to draw people away from the Word of God. It's contrary to the Word. It's contrary to what God wants. God does not seek to bring us to disunion. He seeks unity in the body. Many times, people are swayed by their feelings and their emotions. Something that sounds so good and so forceful, and we get all caught up in it. And hey, yeah, that sounds right. And then somebody else says, yeah. And before long, people are saying, yeah, that must be right. But hey, wait a minute. It's not what God's Word says. This church has been through that. Oh, there's only a few people that can be saved. Listen, folks, it sounds good because the ones who are saved think, hey, God loves me more than He does other people. Bad fruit. They come in, and not only do they sow discord, they start setting obstacles. Look at what it says in verse 17. It says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause the divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. The Greek word is proskopio, which means something unseen that we stumble over. I think we've all been walking through a dark room and something's there that wasn't supposed to be there. That happens a lot when you take care of grandkids or kids or whatever. And you're walking through the room and all of a sudden, oh, you stumble over something that wasn't supposed to be there. Somebody didn't put that up, right? That's the deviousness of someone who comes in and starts putting things in our way to try to make us stumble. How divisive to set an obstacle so that someone else will trip and fall. And yet that is the nature of the evil one. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rip the body of Christ apart so that it cannot be fruitful for the body of Christ. These people are more concerned with self rather than the Spirit. I think we've all understood and known that there are people like that. But Paul says, you just need to be aware that people sometimes come in looking really good on the outside and they say all the right things, but they're very selfish in nature. We've got to watch out for that. We've got to protect the body. They are cunning and crafty, and the reason is because they're just like their father, the evil one. The Scripture reminds us of that. And then look at the last part of verse 17 that says this. They put the obstacles in your way that are what? Contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Trying to steer you away from what the Word of God says. Oh yeah, I know it says that, but what it really means is, and then they start trying to explain away what God's Word says. Sounds fairly familiar to what Satan said to Adam and Eve that day. Oh, did he really say that if you eat of that tree, you'll die? You won't really die. Well, he knows that if you really eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll know the difference between good and evil. Why did they need to know that? All they'd ever known was good. Right? So these are people, you have to watch out for people like that. Steering somebody away from the word means contrary. The Greek word is paranomio, which means to go against or break the law. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Paranormal, something that's not normal. In the same way, this is something that is not along the lines of what God's Word says. And so they say, hey, you know, it says that, but it doesn't really mean that. And so it's okay for you to do that. And it's okay for you not to do this. And it's usually very subtle. They wouldn't walk into this church and say, hey, you know, you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. They wouldn't do that. But what they would do is start little by little casting doubt, sowing discord, and causing issues. It's usually very subtle. It's basically just veering off course just a little bit. And by the way, that's exactly what happened in the garden. The devil was smart enough not to come to Adam and Eve and say, hey, you don't need God. You do what you want to do. You can eat of any tree in the garden. You can do whatever you want to do. Why are you listening to God? He didn't come in doing that. He just gave a little bit of information that he would think that they would say, oh, I'll catch on to that. And so instead of going straight like God had called them to do, he said, you just veer just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. Well, that's not that much right here. But when it gets farther out there, it's far apart. And that's the devil's strategy. He just wants, just get us off course just a little bit. They even use godly sounding words in the things that they say. I think I've shared this a couple of times, but I've got to share it one more time. I know when I was a freshman in college at a Christian university, there was a group of students that were meeting for a Bible study, and I was invited to go. And I was always up for that. I love to go to Bible studies on campus. And so I went to this Bible study, and I saw a few people there that were older, had been there on the campus for a number of years, you know. I guess they're fifth year seniors now. But, I mean, they've been there for a while, and they were leading the Bible study. So I remember sitting there, and I heard the person that was speaking that day, or supposedly going through Scripture, talking about how, you know, if you really want to go deep with the Lord, if you really want to know Him better than you've ever known Him, you need to start speaking in tongues. And, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I did have some good teaching as I was growing up. And I started wondering why they were trying to teach this so-called doctrine of speaking in tongues. So I asked a couple of questions in the middle of the Bible study about what that actually meant and how is that supposed to happen. My pastor had taught me, and my youth pastor had taught me, that speaking in tongues, as Scripture says in the Greek, literally means to speak in other known languages. And the reason God gave that opportunity in Jerusalem, it's where it happened, in Jerusalem during the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and Paul stood up to begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that everyone could hear him in their own language. That's what the gift of tongues was about, is so that people could hear the truth in their own language. It's not so you could gratify yourself by thinking that somehow you're very spiritual and you could just start going, holla, whatever they do, and start speaking in some unknown language. That does not benefit the body of Christ. And in fact, it's very detrimental. Because I saw many of the people who were there in that Bible study who had never really understood that they were supposed to speak in tongues, thinking that they were not saved. Maybe I'm not saved. I've never spoken in tongues. Listen, folks. The evil one has got a plan always to steal, kill, and destroy. He always wants to do things that will pull people away from God. So anyway, bottom line was, the person that was teaching that Bible study that day says, this is how you do it. You just start saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Say it over and over again, and then just let go. And then let anything come out that comes out. I found out later that the reason they do that is it's all based around real praise in heaven, which is hallelujah to God. And guess who used to lead worship in heaven? Lucifer. And here's the progress of all the praise of the angels. The angels would praise God, and Satan would take that praise, or Lucifer, before he fell, would take that praise and shower God with that praise. And the word was hallelujah. Praise unto Yahweh, Yah. But when you take Yah off, it's hallelujah, praise through Lucifer to God. It's just praise to Lucifer. And when that starts happening, people don't realize what they're doing. And they say, oh yes, the Spirit just took over me. Well, what Spirit was it that took over you? And so Paul's trying to get people to understand that all we need to understand and know is Christ Himself and the Spirit of God. We cannot be selfish. We cannot be people who look at things and say, I want this for myself. No. For such people are not serving, verse 18 says, they are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. The Greek word is poleia, which means their own belly. In other words, they're hungry for people to like them. They're hungry for people to follow them. They're hungry for people to think that they're somebody intellectual or full of God's Word. And what brings them pleasure and fulfillment is being lifted up by other people. And people think, oh wow, that's a very godly person. We've got to be careful about that, folks. These people are all about what they want. Their appetites are all that matters. And then the second part of verse 18 talks about deceitful talkers. Look at what it says. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Tell you what, folks. There's a lot of folks out there who are on TV, they're on radio, they're on all kinds of things trying to tell you how important it is for you to believe what they're saying. And oh, by the way, send them some money at the end. Support the ministry. Because I have a large jet that I need to fly around in. But you know what, folks? We need to listen to the Spirit of God. That's the bottom line here. Paul is saying, listen, don't listen to anybody who comes along and tries to tell you this is right and this is wrong. Listen to God's Word and His Spirit, and He will teach you. He will direct you in the way that you ought to go. They are deceitful talkers. The word is histoloia, which means smooth talkers. They speak with flattery. In other words, they start telling you, oh man, I can tell by being around you, you're such a godly person, and I know that you hear when God speaks. And they start flattering you so much to make you feel like, hey, yeah, I am a pretty godly person. And what happens with that? We begin to be puffed up in our own selves. The Word is full of Himself. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God want you to be full of you or full of Him? He wants you to be full of Him. How can we be full of ourselves and do anything beneficial for the kingdom of God? Paul's very wise in saying these things because many people won't bring these kind of things up. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to talk about these kinds of things because they think it might push people away. Listen, folks. People need to hear the truth, no matter if it hurts or it doesn't hurt. We need to hear the truth. I need to hear the truth. I need to be open to whatever God's Spirit is saying. So he says, mark them. The second part, verses 19 and 20. He says, listen, you're going to see them in action. You're going to notice by the things that they're doing. He says, listen to me. You need to mark them. In other words, you need to realize and understand that they don't necessarily change on their own. If they're doing this now, they're going to probably continue to do it. So he says in verse 19, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus will be with you. Why is Paul saying this? He's saying, listen. People can come in and they can try to direct everyone and make you feel like, you know, this person is so important and I've got to follow them no matter what they say, and I've got to line up and say yes sir, no sir. Folks, that's not what God is all about. What God is all about is living a life that's so full of His abundance by His Holy Spirit that you don't have to worry about what people are saying or what people are doing. You just follow Him. You see, the thing about the body of Christ is if I'm following Him, and if you're following Him, then we're all going the same direction. What kind of church looks like this? People going every different direction, pulling against each other, divisions and heartaches and splits and trouble. What kind of church is doing that? A church that's not in control by the Holy Spirit, who's following their own ways. We've got to be wise. We got to start seeing things like God sees them. You see, that's the true definition of the word wisdom. Seeing things like God sees it. It doesn't really matter how you see it, and it doesn't really matter how I see it. It really only matters how God sees it. Most people saw the Pharisees as very religious people. Oh man, they would stand out on the corner and they would pray loud prayers and they would make large gifts to the body and they would do all these things. They would keep all these laws. I mean, they've got to be very, very religious people. What did Jesus call them? A brood of vipers. He said, you're whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but there's nothing on the inside. Things are not always as they appear. Have you ever bought a car that you were told, this is this car, man, it's a humdinger. You're going to love this car. You know, you drive off the lot and it's and you're having trouble from the first part. You know, people can tell you all kinds of things. Amen? But the bottom line is, what's real? By the way, I'm glad we have honest car dealers here in town. So if you need a car, you can go see John. He'll help you out with that. Most people saw the Pharisees and they thought, wow, those people are so religious. Jesus said they're vipers. Things are not always as they appear. He said be wise. But be wise enough to be strong. In other words, we need to, as the body of Christ, as believers, we need to stand up for what's right. You know, this world can tell us all they want to, that, hey, it doesn't really matter about marriage. It's not that big a deal. you know, if a guy wants to marry a guy, it's no big deal. Well, wait a minute, that's not what God's Word says. And hey, you know, if a woman decides they don't want to have the baby, even after the baby's being, you know, in the process of growing and maybe even almost born, she can get rid of it. It's no big deal. What does God say? It's murder. We've got to call right, right, and wrong, wrong. We need to stand up for what's right. Satan will be crushed under your feet. I love that. I love what it says, because Paul is saying, listen, this will happen if you do what we said. If you will follow the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, Satan will be tread under your feet and you will have victory over him. But it's not because of you, and it's not because of how good you are. It's only because of how good God is. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I love how it says this. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals, and you will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike at his heel. The first instance in Scripture of what would happen when Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sins, and rose from the grave. What Jesus did was to step on the head of Satan himself and crush his head. Satan has no control over you if you're God. He has no business in your life. And because the Holy Spirit lives in you, he is not allowed to mess with you. Now, you can give in to your own temptations if you want. But he has no power over us. We've got to be strong. We've got to take authority that's been given to us. And we need to stand against the evil one. God has given us authority to say, even to that mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. Do you have some mountains in your life? Do you have some struggles that you just feel like you can't overcome? Listen, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And you can say to that mountain, be moved, and it will be moved. Jesus put it as simply and easily as he possibly could for us to understand in John 10:10. He says, the thief, Satan himself, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your ability to understand the Word of God, to listen to him, to follow him. He wants to steal everything that's good. He wants to kill you, your physical body. And he wants to destroy you eternally in the place that was not even made for man. It was made for Satan and his demons, a place called hell. That's what his whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you can have real life and have it to the full. Not just exist anymore. Not just make it from paycheck to paycheck. Not just make it through this world that we're living in, hoping that everything's going to be okay. But in the very midst of whatever's happening in this world, we can experience abundant joy like no one else can understand. Because he who is in us is greater than he who's in the world. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I'm so grateful, Lord, for your word. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to go through the book of Romans. I'm so grateful, Father, for the things that you continue to teach us in your word by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I know that it's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for me to get distracted. Sometimes I get my eyes so much on myself that I miss everything you're trying to say. But Lord, as I die to myself and try to abide in you and seek your face and seek your word and listen to you. You speak. And you make changes that need to be made. And you lead me in the path that you want me to go. And your word is alive and it's active. And it cuts down where it needs to. And it gets rid of things that need to be gotten rid of. And it empowers other things that need to be lifted up. And I'm so grateful for that. Lord, I pray today that you'll take this word and encourage us with it. Father, I also pray that if there's someone here or someone listening right now online who's not yet trusted you as their Savior and Lord. And what I mean by that is come to a point of understanding that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory and that what we deserve is to be separated from you forever. But because of your great love for us, you demonstrated your love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ was willing to die and pay the price for us on the cross. And that's what he did. Every sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed was paid for on the cross so that anyone who wants to come to Christ can. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how horrible you think you are. God loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to take all of your sin on him. I can't even comprehend him doing that for one person, me. But he's done that for every person in the world. He's paid the price. And he simply says to anyone, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Come to me. Jesus wants you to come to him. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who's paid the price. He is the one who was perfect and yet took on all sin for us so that we could be made clean with God. Would you trust him today if you've not done so? Would you simply pray and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to come into your life and to become a new person in him and to start abiding in him, in his word, by listening to his Holy Spirit, by growing together in the body of Christ, a place where there needs to be an attitude of worship and praise and peace and love. Father, I pray for anyone who might right now accept you, that they would just simply pray, Dear Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm so sorry for the things that I've done that are wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And I know, Lord, by dying on the cross for me, you paid for my sin already. So, Lord, I want to give you my life. And I want to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for saving me. That's where you are. I know if you prayed that prayer and really meant it, God heard your prayer. And he answered your prayer. And you are now his child. And your name will never be stricken from the book of life. Whatever it is that God's saying to you this morning, we have a time of invitation. I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come and just need prayer, or if you want to give your heart to Christ, or you want to join this church and be a part of this body. Whatever it is that God is saying to you, would you just do it? Just be obedient. And God will bless you. There's no doubt about it. Let's stand and let's begin to sing this hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to you, I'll be here at the front.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross. When he leads me, I will follow.
Be seated for just a moment. Let me just share with you a couple of announcements. On the back of your outline, it shares some of those with you. The couple of things that I want to just remind you of, again, is Resurrection Sunday on April the 17th. That's not actually in here yet because we didn't have all the details at the time we printed this, but it's going to be a great day. I just pray that you'll be encouraging people to come and be a part of that. We will not be having our regular Wednesday night Bible study just this week. It appears that I'll be heading down to Albuquerque area to be with my sister as her husband is passing away right now. And just want to be there for her. So I will not be here Wednesday. But anyway, you can spend some time Wednesday night maybe as a couple or as a group. And just pray for our church and pray for this community and pray for opportunities to share Christ with people around us. There's a number of other things here. I ask that you read through those. And thank you so much for your faithfulness of being here and supporting the Lord's work here in Craig. And I just pray that we will continue to do what He's calling us to do. All right, well, let's stand and we're going to close with a word of prayer. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer?